You want to pass? Give everybody one of these. It's good to be here this morning. We're supposed to, if you can't hear me, just kind of wave at me. The reason I don't have much of a voice, the first time I gave a session here, I had just recovered that year in February. I had just come off hospice. How many of you know what hospice is? When you come off hospice, that's a rarity, because I'm the second person that I know of to come off hospice alive. The discourse of this injury that was to me, I had open heart surgery and they nipped a nerve and killed half my vocal cords. Well, you can't shut up somebody that's going to talk about God. And so I've learned to talk with one vocal cord, but it doesn't take too long to wear that one vocal cord really ragged. And so by the end of the day, I'm kind of sign languaging to you, so because you can't hear me. If there's any pastors here, be sure and pick up one of these before you go. That's the best picture you're going to get of me. And what it is about overcoming life's struggles and troubles. And this piece of paper that I've passed out to you, on the front and the back of it, there's approximately 100 scriptures there. Now, this is the proof of what has happened to me in December of 99, whenever I had a heart attack. And it was a serious one. It took me out. They took me in and said I had to have immediate bypass surgery or I was going to die. So they did that, and then they've kind of butchered on me since then. We had this open heart surgery. When they opened me up on your thymus, which controls your immune system, they found a tumor about the size of a big biscuit, like the ones we had for breakfast this morning. It was on my thymus. The attitude in the surgery room was like, oh. Whenever people talk about the big C, they talk about burying you real soon. So they sewed me back up, basically, after they did a triple, which they're supposed to do a quadruple, and wound up with the big zipper down the front of me, tubes hanging out of me. I look like a bad oil car, the dripping and all the stuff that they run into you. And when they got me back in the room, they would not tell me that I had cancer. So whenever they did tell me, I said, well, what do y'all classify this? 6 months, a year, what are you talking about? And they wouldn't even answer me. So I went home, and I did everything, jumped through all their hoops, did whatever they were wanting me to do so that I could get out of the hospital. Got home, and I sat down, and I've been a preacher most of my adult life. So I sat down, and I started finding the scriptures that had to do with healing. Now you have them here. These are on tape that I have too also. I don't have the tape, but it's on a tape that I had found. And I sit down and I'll show you the original. I always care. Well, that poor Bible has been kicked on pretty badly in the last few years, and I may have dumped it out up here. I carry the original. Maybe just shake it a couple times. There it is. Here's the original list. And when you get serious about God, about surviving and dying, you're going to sit down and do something about it. This is the original list. Whenever I'd reached a point, now what I'm trying to tell you is these scriptures are what God said about your healing. And in tough times, when things get tough, your no-soul needs to know what's going on. The brother that preached for us last night knows what's going on. His no-soul knows. I shared with a brother this morning as we sat right up here. I was first kind of in line for breakfast, wound up almost at the end of it, but I enjoyed what we were talking about. When your no-soul knows, it removes the fear. Whenever you know it's the will of God for you to be healed, he said, I would above all things that you prosper and be in good health. He meant what he said. Now, don't ever my word for it or pastor's word for it. Now, I could get in trouble with a lot of preachers and different ones and saying, don't listen to the pastor that way. But here's what it comes down to. Listen to what God says, and you're 100% right. If you listen to me or anybody else and you take my opinion or my idea about it, your chances are I'm going to fail you. God never fails. He said, my word will never what? Perish nor pass away. And he also gave the commandment to the writers of the word. He said, and there will not be one jot nor one tittle removed. That's the smallest marks that you can make in the Hebrew writings. So it's there for a purpose. The purpose is so that we can read it and believe it. Now, you're a unique group of people here this morning because you do believe. And here's what happened to me. I was dying. They gave me a period of time to live. They never would say. But after December into August, whenever y'all had this meeting up here, it was that was number two, I believe, the second annual deal. Y'all, some of you in here prayed for me. And I'm going to tell you what, it works. Now, you can say all you want to about having all faith and everything else. Yes, it's going to come back to, I'm sorry, you. It all hinges on you, what you do with it. If you don't do something with it, regardless of what we pray, if you don't act on it, it's not going to work. So whenever you believe, all things are possible, what? To him that... Now, why don't we believe? Well, we've heard a lot of excuses. Well, God heals sometimes, sometimes he don't. Did you know that Jesus never not healed somebody? And whenever he said, I have come that you might have life and have it how? Now, how can you have abundant life if you're sick and dying? You see, that's of the devil. That's not God. Now, it happened to Job, and in my circumstance, I was real sick. I got so sick I couldn't stand up. Y'all remember the testimony? My head was hanging down. In order for me to talk to you, I'd have to hold my head up this way, and that got real tiresome. So y'all see me wear my ball cap? I put it on backwards and taking my hunting suspenders and clip it on the back of the bill and spread my legs and drop that thing down, grab it and pull it up and hook it on my britches. And there's my head. It was stuck up here like this so I could talk to you, because this arm was paralyzed. I look, how many of you have seen that movie called Bernie? That's what I look like. I mean, it was a sight to behold. But you know, in adversity, when things happen to you, you can do like Job did. Job said, man, I regret the day I was born. Now, here's what we need to do as Christians and believers. We need to understand we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? See, I'm preaching to the choir this morning. Everybody knows this already. But it's wonderful when people will exhort you to press on to the mark of the high calling. When you look at the impossible and say, not so. That's not going to stop me. The doctors would get in my face and tell me I'm going to die. I had preachers come over. They lay hands on me to pray for me. Oh, God, oh, we're so... Relieve this brother's suffering and prepare his wife. Get your hands off me. I'm not dying. If you look at these scriptures, it's proof that Jesus said these things. I didn't. In the beginning was the Word was of God, and the scripture goes on to tell us, and the Word became and dwelt among us. This is his words. You read those, and what this is going to do is give you confidence to know that regardless of what happens to you, you can just say, no, this is not going to happen. Did you hear what I said? You stop it. Now, the devil will run ragged right over the top of you, and I'll tell you what, he'll put you in a coffin. If you just say, no, it's not going to happen this way. I am not dying from heart disease, and I'm not dying from cancer. And if you mess with me, devil, I'm going to stick around for 120 years of age just to aggravate you every morning. So that whenever I wake up, you're going to get a sudden migraine headache, say, he's up and he's awake and he's still alive. Instead, I've been beat on, kicked, and spit on, and I smell bad. Somebody have pity on me. In fact, I can remember as a young man, there was a song come out about gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. And they're going to say, if it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair. Well, you know what I am? I'm grinning like a possum eating yellow jackets anymore. Because I'm going to tell you, my no-so knows now. even in the worst of the worst, it's just like breakfast. This too shall pass. And, you know, we tend to look at it like, oh, no. You know, all it needs is this to happen. And you guess what? It did. Well, they wouldn't tell me I was going to live or die until what? I want you to listen to this real close. You all prayed for me. There was 400 men there that night. Calvin got up and said, y'all need to pray for Benoit de Pasotel, Lopez Chafer. That's Benny. Because he's sick, he's got cancer. We don't know what I don't know what all he said, but it looks like, you know, he's not long for this world. That's what everybody was saying. And I wasn't. The body was playing out. Now, I told my wife, as my body was playing out, these scriptures I would read every day out loud and say, that's mine. And you read out loud like this because that's all the voice I had. But I'd read them out loud and say, that's mine. And I'll not die. And I just took the word of God, said, as for me and my household this day, I choose life. I'm not going to die. I choose life. And I got to go in with God and I said, okay, now this is the way this works. I told my wife in a whisper, should I become unconscious? You get that tape player, you put my headphones on my ear, and if I'm laying there dead to the world, I'm coming back. And she knew it. She didn't have to argue with me, because if I died, here's what would happen, because I already had this talk with God. I said, now, listen, I'm doing everything you said, and I agree with it. Amen. Now, if I miss it, you got some explaining to do. You're going to tell me where I missed it. Because according to what you said, not me, and I'm agreeing with your word, and you know, you've always wanted somebody to agree with, and the scripture says, whatsoever any two of you shall agree on earth is touching what? Anything. He said, that would I do. Now, Father, I agree with your word. Now, how bad will it get? I had lost from 265 pounds to below 130. They quit weighing me. I couldn't walk. My head was down. This arm was paralyzed. Pain was 24/7. It never went away. And they put me on morphine finally when hospice showed up. And the reason I was put on morphine, I ceased to be able to swallow my own spit. I took a sip of water one night and nearly drowned it. Now that's funny. Because I was staggering and coughing and wheezing around there and like to pass out. And my wife loaded me in the van and hauled me to the hospital. And the doctor said, look, you know, he pulled her aside. They always do this, you know. They're never going to tell you that to your face. You know, well, he's not long for this world, you know. He'll be dead in 3 days. If we put a feeding tube in him, we can keep him alive for 3 weeks. They come along and said, Mr. Schaefer, we're going to have to put a feeding tube in you. I said, no, you're not. And all this time, I kept going on. You see, we die from the lack of knowledge. The scripture says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. We have been given the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. If you'll do battle the way Jesus did, I was raised Church of Christ, if you'll read on this, which y'all need to look at this, that's a good picture of me. In the Church of Christ, they never taught you what you believe, they taught you what you can't do. Now, where does Jesus come along and say, no, 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 you can't do it? He's always telling you to do something. You know why? Because when you start doing the do's, you ain't got time to do the don'ts. And you don't want to. Because the new nature in you turns everything around. Let that new nature, being born again, being an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. And that's what I used consistently when people would ask me anything. And I didn't give doctors a chance to talk to me until I spoke to them. And I'm sort of talking like this, but man, I'm trying to hold it up. And I said, I don't care what you see, I'd have to use this hand because this one was hanging down. I don't care what you see, I'm healed by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. Now, pastors, that's semi-scriptural for right now. If you'll turn to the book of Revelations, that's where the end time people overcame you. And the scripture there says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the words of their testimony. Well, if it'll work for them that I have not yet seen, it'll work for me right now. I'm using modern day warfare tactics. So I said, that's mine. And I'm going to make it. I'm not dying. I may look like dead. I may smell like I'm dead. But I'm not. And so I pressed on to that mark. And there were days, I can tell you, how bad does it get sometimes in the trial? Ask Job. He's sitting in a pile of ashes. He's a festered mess. And his friends come along.
Well, Job, you must have done something really bad. You know, this just don't happen to people that you done something bad.
He said, no, I haven't done anything. And when your no-so knows, then you turn around like Job and you pray for those that you say, well, you've done something wrong. Well, you don't have to do something wrong. Sometimes the test is a spiritual battle. Whenever Satan comes along and says, all you got to do, you built a hedge about him. Drop that hedge and watch me squeeze him, and he'll squeal like a pig under a gate. Not only that, he'll deny you giving the chance. Hello? It's amen or oh me. Now, whenever you stop and look at this thing in that particular light, you'll understand that God wants you to succeed in everything. Whenever you look at adversity that jumps into your life, I can tell you what dead looks like because I've been there. I can tell you this morning too. Dying is the easiest thing you can do. Takes no, you don't have to practice for it. You're not doing it. It's just going to happen. Guess what? Succeeding requires sweat, blood, and pain. And whenever you get your teeth set, you say, bless God, hallelujah, the Lamb of God, I'm going to win. Now, I am a winner. I'm an overcomer. If he said I was, then I am. Then I'm going to win this thing. Instead of, let's change your attitude in looking at adversity. How many of you have been broke? Rest of you are lying. How many of you have been sick? Nine to death. How many of you had marital problems? Come on. How many of you had all kinds of problems that we can't even go into? We have both hands and one leg in there. You know what you do? You stop instead of saying, oh man, how bad can this get? You're roaring down the highway of life and the rear wheel blows out. Oh no, and there's no spare. Glory to God. Why? Well, I just wanted to give God equal time, and if I go to fussing about what's going on, murmuring never helped anything. So what we need to do is let this mind be in you that's in Christ Jesus. How many of you have seen a funeral? It's kind of sad to see a funeral, isn't it? You know what Jesus did when he seen funerals? He ruined them. There's nothing worse than somebody running a good funeral. They're lugging them along, taking them to their final resting place. And the next thing you know, they're standing up and talking to them again. And some of them that didn't like them are now in the box. We need to change how we look at things in adversity. Instead of saying, man, this is bad. Well, I already know it's bad. I don't have to expound on that. You don't have to clarify it for me and let me know that I was the cause of it. Yes, I probably was the cause of it. But he said to repent. Now, how far can you go on repentance? How many of you have done something bad? Come on. And those who didn't raise your hand, you lied to me. Okay. Here's what it comes down to. Jesus said this, if you deny me before men, come on. What did Peter do? You know where Peter is right now? He's in heaven. Why? Because Jesus said, I prayed for you. And Peter, when thou art restored. So you see, there's no such thing as going too far with God except sinning against the Holy Spirit. And beloved, let me tell you something. You've got to be working intentionally to do that. You're not going to accidentally do something that stupid. You got to be working at it. I mean, even our brother in here stuck a pistol in his mouth. He's got a PhD, so do I. How many of you have a PhD in here? Oh, come on, some of you do. How many have a PhD? How many of you got a postal here? Okay. Yeah. Well, I've got a BA, PhD, and a SLDS. I'm a born-again, post-hole-digging, short-legged demon stomper. And I've never heard of anybody that had an SLDS. Because I used to be 31 inches off the ground, but I've since shrunk. I'm only 30 inches off the ground now clearing things. So, yes, and see, you can turn everything around. It starts running bad. I said, no, this isn't going to happen this way. Why? Because I'm going to let this mind be in you that's in Christ Jesus. I'm going to look at adversity and say, this is an opportunity for God to be God and me to be what he asked me to be, a bearer of the word. Now, when Jesus got up against Satan, he didn't say, Deuteronomy 8:13. Well, in the Church of Christ, it's very important that you understand these scripture in Hebrews and Corinthians and all them other places, and they'll look at you very sternly and say, what's Hebrews 10:15 mean? I don't know. Well, Jesus didn't fight that away either. He said, it is written. And then he told him what it is written. On this piece of paper, I'm going to borrow yours just for a minute. It is. It's not my words. It's not your words. It's his words, and his words are eternal. They'll never pass away. Jeremiah 1:12, he says, I hasten, or if you get another word, he says, I watch over my word. If I said it, I'll do it. Hello, amen, or oh me. We've had enough oh me in adversity. Now, there's going to be some bad things happen in your life. If you're alive, things are going to happen. Bankruptcy, let me tell you something about looking at the bottom. Because whenever you go through open heart surgery, cancer treatments, and they give you a pill bill that runs over $1,000 a month, and they say, guess how far into debt you can go? A little bit past that. I mean, you have to crawl up to see the bottom. And guess what? What's coming out of my mouth at this point? He promised me. Remember Jabez, the prayer that he prayed. Who is Jabez? I started studying this guy, and he's got talked about his daddy one time, and talked about him praying one time. And look what God did for him one time. Okay, I said, well, you know, we're looking at these are Old Testament people, and some of them are pretty great, you know. All these guys that are written in the Bible, the prophets, and they went before us and did all these great things. But I'm going to tell you what Jesus said. Jesus is standing in the group of people, probably larger than this, and he looks over there and he said, you see that man over there? That's John the Baptist. He says, there hadn't been a man alive that's greater than him. Now, these are the words of Jesus, not mine. Then he turned around and he said, but the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he.
Hey, so if I'm the very least, I'm still better than that.
You know? Come on. Change the way you look at adversity and say, hey, this is an opportunity for a testimony that ought to be just as common as everyday dirt. When Jesus was walking around in ministry, it was nothing for thousands of people to be healed. They were dragging them out in the streets so that if the apostles' shadow would even fall on them, or Jesus come by, they were going to get healed. In church, hello now, I'm fixing to get home. Somebody gets healed and wow, revival breaks out. Where was he healed from? Head cold? Got a bad sinus headache. Tylenol will take care of that. Whenever we start trusting God for the impossible, when he says, if thou canst believe, what did he say was impossible to you? No. All things are possible. Now come up with a scenario that it's impossible. Come up with this. Now I'm going to tell you something about living a winning life, overcoming adversity. How many of you work for a living? Come on. How many of you have tools? How many of you have trucks with tools in them? How about trailers with toolboxes on them? okay? You know how to go to Walmart and go to Lowe's and go to Home Depot, and you've got, like I used to have, $29,000 worth of tools on my trailer. And they all come the hard way with sweat and blood. No job's over till the blood's been poured, you know, you shot yourself with a nail gun, or cut yourself with a knife, or saw, or something fell on you and the blood went right out the end of your finger. Then you can figure the job's been christened. But you worked hard for these tools. Here's what it is. God gave them to you. You could afford them. You went and bought them. You got them there. Those not just your tools, because when you're dead and gone, somebody else is going to get them. They belong to God. That's the way I always looked at it. So I'm taking care of his stuff. I like the idea. It's not scriptural, really, because he gave it to us. What does he need a D-walk skill saw for? He said, let it be. There it is. Well, let's watch. I mean, come on. But I treat this stuff like it belongs to him. So I get out of my truck. This is just bits and pieces of how to live this overcoming life. I get out of my truck and walk in there, and I turn around and look back at the truck and trailer and says, angels, you've been given charge to watch over anything I tell you to watch over. I want you to take care of that truck. Nobody gets into it. Nobody gets any tools off of it. You understand that? And in Jesus' name, so be it. And I go in the store. Now, I'm not an idiot. I do have locked toolboxes and stuff. But there are times whenever there's compressors, air hoses, and stuff that you just cannot get in a box. I've got two of them 60-inch big tall boxes. They're crammed full. And there's stuff still piled in between them. And it's expensive for that stuff to go missing. And I can tell you what it is. Should you decide to go out there and take something off my truck, you're going to run into Arnold Schwarzenegger, Angel. Because he's going to be sitting on the tailgate of my pickup saying, I wouldn't do that. And you know what? You'll say, I think you're high on something. Yeah, I'm high on Jesus. But he said, you entertain angels unaware. Was there not a prophet that was riding along on his faithful ass whenever that thing kept dodging something in front of it? And the prophet swatted this poor beast, and the beast turned around and says, hey, what's happening? Man, for 20 years I've hauled you around, and you're whooping up on me. Can't you see this guy in front of us has a sword? Not only is he going to kill you, but he's probably going to kill me. I didn't write that. He said it. Now, if it takes a donkey to tell a prophet something, folks, let's just listen to those that have been there and done that. If Jesus said it, if it's recorded in this word, then you can count on it. It's mine. I can lay hold to it and say, it's going to work. So believe for the impossible. Whenever you look at something that's totally impossible, how many of you have had open heart surgery in here? Well, let me tell you something. That's fun, isn't it? You know, the one, a lot of people don't understand that they field dress you like a deer. Then they stop your heart and they rip a vein out of this leg. They start down there at your ankle and they come plumb up to here. And like they needed all that, they take 3.5 feet of vein. They use about 6 inches of it. That hurts. And then you can't pick up things because, see, you're wired together. But the scripture says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens. You know, my scar is nearly disappearing. You can't even see it. Most people have a real bad one. Mine's disappearing. Now, I pop and creak, but I'm old. And you can say, well, the doctors saved your life. No, they didn't. They're not the authors of healing. And I don't preach against doctors. They do the best they can. How many of you know a good auto mechanic? That's exactly what a doctor is, only he wears a little mask and has a PhD in front of him or behind his name. And you can have a PhD too. All you've got to do is go to, you know, Walmart, carry photo leaders. But it's a good guess, and they don't know. They're doing what they've done, like our preacher friend in here next door told last night in seminary, they trained him. I love that. Whenever he said, those Pentecostal preachers got that buzzer on there, I'm going to get me a buzzer. I didn't know that they had. I'm going to get me a buzzer. I'm going to light somebody up. I'm going to have a time. Can you imagine having a headache and that thing rattle on your head? I'm going to have a good time with this. Why? Because I don't look at adversity like that's the end. It ain't over till he says it's over. And beloved, whenever you get it settled in your mind, whenever your thinking is changed, think on these things. Instead of looking at like, oh man, my son's into drugs, he's doing everything bad, you say, glory to God, he's not going to die and go to hell because I'm not going to let it happen. I've got authority over this thing, and in the name of the glorious Jesus I serve, his name, El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one that I serve, and Yahshua, Jesus, that's how they say it in Hebrew. And that last night, I want to tell you something about last night. I got hair standing up on my arms right now. I was praying and talking to people, and I was calling out the Hebrew names of God, and I talked about Yeshua and Jesus, and I was praying for these people. I woke up. Wow, that's good. You know, whenever you can dream that away. Oh, man, that's better than catching good fish. Well, let me tell you something. But looking at adversity, and whenever you get shook up, it's saying, well, it's bad's happening. It's about to tear up my wife, and it's about to tear up my family. You step up to the plate and say, no. And see, I've been taught all my life in the Church of Christ, you know, it's not what you can do. It's what you can't do. And if Jesus told me, if thou canst believe, all things are possible, then see, pastor can only do so much. You need to step up to the plate. Amen. And I mean grit your teeth and say, no, this ain't going to happen this way. Glory to God. And start giving God the authority. And say, I'm standing here and it's not going to happen because I refuse to let it. If one can put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000. I'm a child of the King. I'm the greatest thing that walked the planet. John the Baptist was the greatest man in Jesus' day, and he said the very least of the kingdom was greater than he, and my name's in the book. And if I'm the least, brother, you better back up. Death and destruction and all this other stuff, stop right now. Because I'm going to tell you to right now in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, now why can I say things like that? In Mark the 16th chapter, he said, these signs shall follow them that what? Now, let me tell you something. If you don't believe, then get out of the game. Because you're fixing to have tire tracks all over you. But when thou, whenever you can believe, you're impossible to be stopped. Whenever, I love it when people go to the pastor and say, man, you know, I've worked at this place for 15 years. I haven't got a raise. I need a raise. Pastor says, okay, mumble, you get the job. Okay, that, and he goes back to work next day and they fire him. How many of you ever had experience like that? There we go. How many of you had your pastor come over and pray for you? Or better yet, people that you know of. I've got a Mexican friend, his name Jose Nevarez, would come and pray for me when I was sick. I got to the point I hated to see him come. I love him. He is a man of God. Every time he'd pray for me, I'd get sicker. I told my wife, I said, don't let him in the doors. I know what he was praying, but the old devil said, I'm going to try to stop him. I'm going to try to stop him. I'm going to get him to not believe what Jose's been praying for. And boy, I'd spend the next 2 days under the covers, so sick I couldn't even breathe. So what do you do whenever you get fired? You know, in order to get a better job, sometimes you got to get rid of the one you got. Well, I never thought of it that way. Sometimes when I pray for people and I come along, and I've prayed for lots of people, I've seen people instantaneously heal. Touch them, wham, it hits the concrete, ouch, that's going to leave a mark. They had a headache when they went down, they got up perfectly healed. No pain whatsoever. I don't understand it, don't pretend to. I can tell you what this says. And see, I don't have all the answers. I just serve the one that does. And whenever something happens, I step up to the plate and say, no, this is not going to happen this way. Adversity is not going to win. Satan is not going to put another mark on his pistol saying he shot me dead in the process because I'm an overcomer. Not only am I an overcomer, I'm a winner. Not only am I somebody, I'm a child of the King. Not only that, I'm a warrior for the kingdom of God. And I'll stop and I'll talk right out loud. I'll put on the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the feet shod with preparation of the gospel. I put the whole armor on, and then I step up to the plate and I say, okay, Bubba, you want a piece of me? I'm fixing to wood you apart. And whenever I get done with you, you're going to run for the brush. Whatever's left of me. Don't back up and say, oh, the devil jumped on me and I can't win. Yeah, he's old, but he's got Alzheimer's. Why can I say that? He ran face to face with Jesus one day and he said, if you're the Son of God, then turn these stones to bread. I know you've been fasting for 40 days, but if you be the Son of God. He wasn't real sure until he'd done been stomped on 3 times. And what did Jesus use? He said, it is. And what do we say? Well, the doctor said, I've got family members right now that they would believe the doctor over their pastor. I'm serious. And boy, that's dangerous. Because whenever Jesus said the things that I can do, then I'm going to trust in the words that are eternal. Because then, see, down the road, I'm just Benny with an IE, not a Y. That's all I am. I'm just like you. I get up and put my pants on, shirts on. I smell at the end of the day, just like you guys. The difference being is I've been through a trial and I can come back and testify and say I've been there and done that. I know what you're going through and here's how you win. Now what I want us to do as a body of believers and just laymen, you know, I don't have a church right now. I'm just doing evangelistic work. And you put a REV in front of your name, that's just reversed. You can have all them other things that you want to do and be somebody and it means nothing to God. Whenever you pray and believe, then he acts on that. And whenever you get into a situation, you don't have to drag somebody to church to get them healed. It can happen in academy. Thank God for academy. I do a lot of preaching in academy. Somebody asks about something, and invariably they'll look at me and say, why are you grinning so? Then as you've asked, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. And I get to stand there in the aisle and tell them what Jesus did. When you go to the Payless or the Circle K or whatever it is, just walk in there grinning like a possum eating yellow jackets. You know how that looks? Somebody say, he's up to something. And they just cannot stand it. After a while, they're going to ask you, what are you doing? What is with you? That I was alive, but I died, and I come back to life. And now Jesus did it, and he can do it for you too. You see, there's an opportunity. Instead of looking at adversity, and this man seen me through adversity. Not too long ago, I went hunting, and I got off back down there in the pasture, and I thought they was going to have to find me when the buzzards were circling. But of course, I'd have ate 2 or 3 of them between the time they got to me. But I got in trouble back there. Does that mean once you've succeeded in something, that something else won't happen? Uh-huh. It's whenever you stay on guard and say, listen, here's the way it works. I may have had to sow cans to get here, but let me tell you what's about to happen in my life. I'm going to have wells I didn't dig, vineyards I didn't plant, and houses I didn't build. And you're going to say, well, how are you going to get that? I don't know. He said I would. Where's it coming from? He didn't tell me to go looking for it. He said he'd give it to me. Jabez says, I want you to enlarge my territory. And he did it. And if he did it for somebody that's not even as great as John the Baptist, who am I that a king would bleed and die for? I am the greatest, as he said, at the very least, I am the greatest of all the prophets and the teachers that had lived to John the Baptist. So when the devil comes along there and kicks your face in, you get up and say, I'm down, but I'm not out. Now, ugly, if that's the best you can do, guess what? And you reach over and you grab that set of scriptures and you start reading them to him. And that makes him mad. He say, I'm going to tell you something. This is who I am. This is what he's done for me. And this is what's going to happen. I am an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb which Jesus shed. And you, people think you're crazy. And you are. If you can stand in your living room or in the bathroom or out in the field like I've done, and you can say, I'm a child of the King. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm sinless before God. My name is in the Lamb's book of life, devil, and you're going to get your hands off me. I'm a winner, not a loser. And guess what? The El Shaddai, the one that I serve, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Ropa, and Yeshua, they're mine. And they make this their abode in this body, so you get your hands off me. And you can do it now. What if it doesn't happen right now? If you don't have a trial, how can you have a testimony? Now, how many of you don't like pain? Do you know pain will teach you something? Have you noticed people with leprosy have no fingers, sometimes no limbs? It's because they can't feel it whenever they're cutting something and they whack off a finger. Or they get a sticker in their finger and it festers and rots off. You see, pain, if you'll stop for a minute and say, pain will teach you something. It'll teach you not to do that. Stick your finger to something that's hot. Or like somebody's always handed you something that was hot, or you picked it up, you don't take me long to look at something. It teaches you something. Learn from it. Don't be like, I just don't like pain. Remember that. Remember how much it hurt. Folks, I've been where you've been, or some of you will be. And I can tell you how to overcome that thing. And it's not anything I can do. But you prayed for me. You anointed this man. He came to my house, and guess what? He prayed for me. And within a matter of days and hours, I was put on hospice. Was it ineffectual? Not to the least. Guess who's still here? Guess what's gone? Did it work? They that wait upon the Lord shall what? Be renewed in strength. They shall what? Rise up on wings and eagles. You see, now sometimes you just have to be patient and wait upon the Lord. Literally, take time. Because without the test, there is no testimony. Whenever you can look at adversity and say, you know, I've lost my job, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to go to God and say, now, you said that I might have life and have it more abundantly. I want that. And the brother I was talking with over here, there was a job come up, and these are just testimonies of other people. And see, we exhort one another. You'll think that sometimes I'm preaching to the choir, sometimes I'm preaching to the pastors, and I'm going to tell you what, if somebody can tell you that it works and just keep on pressing on, it works, we get discouraged. Pastors get up and preach to their congregations. You know, like you said, it's real easy to have a church like that. All you do is mow around the graves. I love that. But whenever you're out there working and doing things like that, whenever you exhort one another daily, edification, exhortation, and comfort, then you know it's God. If it's condemnation, man, you piece of no good dirt. Yes, so. It's not God. So whenever you exhort one another daily, you become overcomers. Because you'll say, now, this brother over here was telling me about his wife. She needed a new job because she needed to make more money. Well, the school district that she was teaching in, there was a position coming up which was going to put about $7,000 more money in their pocket per year. That's a healthy piece of change, folks. But the guy that was going to open up this position had already picked his successor for that job, and so it was the superintendent. He was going to pick this guy to fill this position. So they had this big meeting. And when you let God be God, this guy walks in, listen, bingo, not only did he not get that job, but the superintendent resigned because of the whole stinking mess. She got the job and became the assistant interim superintendent. Christ. See? Whenever it looks impossible, that's the easiest thing it is with God. Let me ask you something. If you go out here and look at a pile of dirt,
since Pa alerted him. Now look at you. God walked through the Garden of Eden one day and looked at the pile of dirt, and he made and created the most marvelous thing that he is. We were created in his image. We got a heart that beats. We got a brain cells that work. We got blood vessels. We got lungs that exchange oxygen from the air that we breathe. And scientists and people of all kinds of knowledge, they can tell you approximately how this works, but they don't know how it happens. Now, where is faith in all this? Faith is very important because you got to believe what's there. Now, you are faith people. A measure of faith has been given unto every man, and let's use it. Let me give you an example of this. How many of you have to understand something before you can use it? I like to know that. Whenever I pick up a rifle, I want to know where the safety is. I want to know what brand of ammo it needs. I want to know if you're using certain sets of optics or open sights. A drill, I'm driving a car, I want to know where the accelerator is, the brake, and parking brake. I want to know these things. But when it comes to faith, it says, if thou canst believe, the only thing that you've got to believe is what he said. And if you can't do nothing else. Now, see, whenever I was so sick, what this did for me, because I didn't have a lot of people around me at all times to help me in the times of crisis, I would read these out loud and say, that's me. It would encourage me. And when we learn how to do things the way this book says, it works. How many of you, let me give you an example of this about praying in faith. How many of you have ever prayed for somebody and you really weren't sure what to say? Howbeit the Spirit helpeth us in our infirmities when we know not how we ought to pray. Your associate from Bryan, the I Am of Names, Pastor Bethel, Presbyter, and Kevin Johnson. Elwin Johnson. Now, you see, I am bad with names. Now, imagine you're so sick that you can't see, you can barely talk, much less walk, and you get to a phone and you know you're dying. John knows Elwin. I mean, Calvin knows Elwin. See, Fred over here. Herman. Okay. I can't remember anything, so I get to the phone because I know I'm being attacked and I'm about to die if something doesn't happen. I can't see the numbers on the phone to dial. But I call Elwin three different times. And there's a reason for that, to call Elwin. Because Elwin knew what to do at the time, because God already laid it on his heart what to do. I called. Elwin could barely hear me. Elwin was the only one out of a large staff to pick up the phone and answer it. And I'd say, Elwin, this is Benny Bray. And that's all I had to say. You know what come out of his mouth next? I thought here. And he would continue on in that way, saying, the Lord God of heaven knows, come down and touch him and sustain him right now because he's dying and he needs help. Because that's what the will of the Father was at that time. And so whenever you come up to somebody and you don't know what to pray, you just pray in tongues. You see, that's what the book told us to do. How many people do you know do that? How many people do you know will lay hands on the sick and pray for them? Well, I don't get that. He's all have mild virus. I'm all have miles coming out of me. And here's another good part about adversity when things happen. The Lawrence Trio, remember them back 30 years ago? Well, that was a circus in itself that day. I was called to lead the singing that day. I couldn't even remember the songs. Couldn't remember how they started. And this is a professional group. I mean, they were good. I look like an idiot. He came to Troy First Assembly. I was real sick. I lost so much weight. I used to have to stick my hands in my breeches like this, or they'd fall off. And I was holding on to my breeches. My wife kept trying to get my hand loose, because if she ever got my hand loose, I'd have really gave them a show. And I had a death grip on my britches. Because, and she kept trying to pull my hand loose. She's not going to get that hand loose. But he prayed for me. He prayed in tongues. He prayed out loud. People were hearing me. And then he stopped. And he looked at me eyeball to eyeball. And he said, Benny, Mark 16 chapter says, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I place you in recovery right now in the name of Jesus. Guess what? People in recovery do not die. And you tell the devil that. You tell him that. I can't die because I'm in recovery. And then you'll have Job's friends come along and say, you don't look like you're in recovery. You look like you're dying. Thanks. That's what I needed to hear. I'm uplifted already. Why don't you just shoot me so I get there quicker? You see, whenever we get a different perspective of what the situation is, how bad it can be. I've worked all my life. It's hard for me not to be working. I'm kind of like an old mule. You older guys know what I'm talking about. Some of you may not. But you can, they used to use mules and oxen and things, and they'd train that mule, and there's times that he would go stand in the traces. He'd go stand in front of the plow, waiting to be hooked up. Well, I've stood in front of the plow a couple of times. And I can pray with the rest of you. So what we need to learn is, let's change the way we think. Let this mind be in you that's in Christ Jesus. When adversity jumps in your face, take authority over it. No, this is not going to happen anymore. What if somebody dies? Is that the end? Why? It might be their beginning, but if you know good and well in your heart that that ain't supposed to happen, stop it. Jesus did. He come along after somebody had been buried for 3 days. It was stinky. And Calvin, I'm crazy enough to do this. They told him, he said, this, he stinks. He's been in there 3 days. And Jesus told him, no, he's not dead. He's sleeping. Why? Because of the way he looked at things. No, death is not the end either. And see, folks, here's what it comes down to. That ought to be common, everyday happening things in our bodies of churches that we have, not the exception to the rule. It's no wonder whenever I stand up in the places I've gone to church and said, I was dead, but I come back alive. And those that had seen me, they just astounded. My best friends, like Calvin, that were there, would come to my house and leave, and I said, don't think he's going to make it. One of my Church of Christ friends, which was my tax man, he come over and he said, he's 85. Well, Ben, he'd go call John Bishop, he said, you better go see Benny. I don't think he's going to make it past today. And he said, you know, I was sitting there, and he said, he just keeps telling me he's going to make it, but I just can't believe it. Well, Ben died not too long ago, about a year ago in February, from a massive heart attack. Old Church of Christ boy. But you know what he told John Bishop, one of my friends that I grew up with in school? He said, I've seen my first miracle. You see, a lot of times you don't have to preach. All you have to do is be that winner. And you can say more in being victorious than you can in 2 or 3 hours preaching. And John come along and told me, it was John Bishop. He said, Benny, he said, God healed you. I watched it. He called my wife nearly every day to see how I was. He said, but because you got sick and you nearly died, and you kept telling me that God was going to heal me, I got saved. How are you looking at your difficult situation? Somebody's reading you like a book. Somebody's watching you saying, how's he going to act with this? Is it bad to get upset? Be angry and sin not. Don't hit him yet. I wish I'd looked to find some place where I could really lay hands suddenly on somebody. I would enjoy it extremely. I've even seriously contemplated it a few times that if I repent after I did it. Because I know good and well I could get their attention real quick, and I know that that would be quicker. But you see, that's not the way God deals with it. We're faith people. We're people of light, not of darkness. We're unusual. I haven't got a clue what time it is or how long. It's 10 o'clock. Let me close by saying this. I'm nobody in the eyes of the world, but I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. And if there's something I can leave with you today in adversity and living in it, let this mind be in you that's in Christ Jesus. And always say, He said it. And if Benny, an old Church of Christ boy, can do it, I can too. I love you. Thank you.